Well, and that's part of the concern that the board had was that things don't look the same today as they have looked in the last 4 years. And, you know, they were, their decision was to be prudent, go slow, see what's, where this is going. Is this going to come back to 13% compounded annually, or are we always going to be looking at something less than that? And the fund has to earn 8% compounded annually in order to just pay the benefits that we've already promised. So any kind of improvements in the future has to, you know, has to come out of, has to be something in excess of 8%. And if the future holds something less than 8%, the money that's reflected in here is going to get eaten up real fast. And if the money gets eaten up real fast, then the only recourse of a retirement system is there's two. We either come back to you and we say, unfortunately, we have to reduce benefits. Or two, we come back to you and say, unfortunately, you have to increase contributions in order to make this system whole. And this system has never done that. We have no intention to do that, and hence our prudence. We don't want to get in a position of having to do that.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Valesky.
Thank you. 8% keeps the system sound. What was the return last year in 2000?
10.8 okay. last year.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Further questions from the committee? If not, then are there further opponents of Senate Bill 251? Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Matt Clark. I'm the Deputy Investment Officer for the South Dakota Investment Council, and I'm here today to speak to the interest of the Investment Council and Steve Myers, the State Investment Officer, in being prudent in spending new money. The concerns relate to the significant increases in benefits in the last several years, combined with recent poor market performance. As has previously been stated, the system needs to earn 8% to remain whole. This fiscal year to date, we've earned 1%, which is a 7% shortfall, which would translate into about a $300 million shortfall. The view of the Investment Council is that one should be conservative and think in terms of deducting that shortfall against the reserve for future benefit improvements. This higher number on the sheet that you were given, which is a very nice informative document, the top part called surplus, would only be brought into the asset base on a five-year smoothing type basis. And the Investment Council view is that any losses should be reflected immediately against the assets that are actuarially recognized, and any gains above 8% should only be recognized on a smooth basis over a five-year period of time. And given that, then the $500 million that would be available for benefit increases would have declined to about $200 million as of this point in time. And beyond that, the 15% downturn that is mentioned on this sheet, which seems about right, needs to be thought of in terms of compared to earning 8%. And so if you just earn zero for 2 years, it would all be gone, because you need to earn 16% or more on a compounded basis over a two-year period of time. And for those reasons, while the Investment Council and Steve strongly support the long-term goals of raising benefits, and if the returns had been better thus far this year, and it, or if they are better next year, then there would be strong support for this type of a proposal to increase benefits further. But at this particular point in time, given the current expected returns, which do not offer much cushion, if any, above earning 8% going forward, and given the fact that the $500 million would have already shrunk to $200 million, the view is it might be more prudent to wait till next year and see if conditions have improved. If so, then it might be more appropriate to move forward. Are there any questions?
Thank you, sir. Are there questions from the committee? Thank you. Are there further opponents of Senate Bill 251?
If you would like, sir, Paul could talk about this.
Good afternoon, Chairman, members of the Retirement Committee. To be consistent with the past, Lena Storms and Associated School Boards, we would oppose this because we believe it should come from Retirement Board before it gets initiated any other way. So that's consistent with our beliefs in the past, that it ought to come from Retirement Board.
Thank you, sir. Are there further opponents of Senate Bill 251? Further opponents of 251. Do any of the members of the committee want Mr. Schrader on the hot seat? Could we ask you to please come forward with your sheet of paper there?
Good afternoon. First of all, let me tell you that this bill would have a price tag of $127 million. I think that was talked about, and that's an accurate figure. The change that was made in the judicial benefits was probably an oversight in the original bill, and it is not a significant change. I have looked at this chart briefly. I just would add a couple things. I think generally this chart is accurate. What the board concentrates is on the bottom part of the chart, the $500 or so million that has flowed into the reserve. As Matt said, the amount above that is gains that were had past gains that had occurred as of June 30 for past performance that has yet flowed into the reserve, and so we really don't count that. I think Al and Matt and everybody else has pretty much talked about correctly the discussion as I felt occurred at the board. I think the concern was not only the investment performance on the year-to-date, but also that the projections that we had from Matt and from the investment office and the concerns that maybe we are in a sustained period of underperformance, just as we have been in a very, very long sustained period of overperformance. The board is cautious. The board is concerned. I think one of the principal concerns, well, I think the board has two principal responsibilities. One is to maintain the actuarial soundness so we don't have to come up here and tell you a sad story that we can't afford the benefits that we have promoted and that you have passed. And then secondly is to fairly increase benefits when it's appropriate and when the board generally thinks it can be. This year was a tough year. It's the first year we've had in a long time where we've had to sit and talk about a lot of money in the reserve, but a very, very poor performance year and a concern that it's not only one year, it's multiple years. So I don't think it's any more than that. I think everybody is supportive of better benefits when they can be afforded, but it was a real concern that we come to you with a benefit package when Matt says we've earned 1% this year.
Thank you, sir. Are there any questions from the committee? If not, then thank you very much. You do? All right. Senator Valesky.
Address this talk about significant increase in recent years. Now, what was the last increase and how much was it?
It was, they've averaged $200 million a year for the last 4 years. And those are benefit increases that should not have been expected, would not have been expected by the plan if the plan had earned the 8% investment return based on the contributions. So they have been pre-funded by spending parts of the money that is in the reserve. And that has been consistently done the last 4 years. As I think I said to you last week, I think it is, in some ways I think we're the victim of the success, that it is not likely, had we looked ahead 4 years from 4 years ago, we would not have thought we could have afforded the level of benefit increases that have been afforded. They have been truly remarkable. And it's not likely that the board will come to you with a significant benefit increase package each year. It's just probably not in the cards. We have had a wonderful period of prosperity, and now there's concern that maybe that's changing. So $800 million, it's average roughly $200 million a year.
What, Mr. Chairman, what are you projecting? Right now, Mr. Clark testified that you've made 1% so far this year, apparently. I mean, what's your projection at this point that you'll make for this year?
I would turn that over to Mr. Clark.
Just go ahead and answer the question from your seat there.
Essentially, we would look at, in terms of our long-term expected return, we would look at the level of interest rates. The 10-year government bond yields 5.1% right now. Any bond portfolio will not come close on a long-term basis from these interest rate levels to earning 8%. The expected return from equities on a long-term basis, based upon their dividend yields today, which are quite low, just a little over 1%, and the long-term growth in earnings and dividends, combines to give us an expectation of about 8%. We hope we can do better than 8% on a few other categories, in some of the real estate categories and arbitrage strategies. When you combine it all together, it's going to be difficult if we just earn index-like returns to earn 8%. If we can continue to outperform the indexes as we have in the past, which is probably an unreasonable expectation, then we might be able to earn just a touch over 8%. But right around 8 would be our expectation, and that's the lowest expectation we've had since I've been at the investment office since 1983.
Okay, so let's say you got a 6% return, you didn't get your 8%. What would that do to this cushion that's talked about? It says after if you pass Senate Bill 251, there will be a $755 million cushion. How much of that would be affected, if any?
Go ahead.
There's about $5 billion in that system right now, and every 1% shortfall is $50 million. And so if you are 1% below the 8, that costs you $50 million. And so if you only earn 8, a 0, if you have 0 for 1 year, that's $450 million. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Further questions from the committee? Right then, thank you, sir. Are there further opponents? I didn't think there were, but we'll make sure here. If not, then we'll close.
Well, could I just ask one more question?
Sure.
Mr. Asher. Not that this maybe makes that much difference, but your board of trustees, there are 16?
17.
And when this proposal was brought to your December meeting, I understand 3 were absent. Was that correct? Is that correct?
Or?
I'm just curious. This bill was presented. I was just curious. What was the vote? If I may know that. I mean, was it a real split decision?
It was a split decision. Let's.
Okay. That's.
Thank you. The board is made up of employer and employee representatives. The majority of them are employee representatives, and it's a tough decision on the part of employees to vote against improving their own benefit, present or future benefit. I mean, that's a hard decision. But, you know, they take this job, like I said in the testimony, they take this job very, very seriously. And they look at and they listen to all the inputs from the investment office, the inputs from the consultant, and the inputs of, you know, we've had all these good years of investment return. Will they continue in the future? Or, like Paul said, do we go into a cycle where, you know, consistently it's below it? And so that, you know, it wasn't black and white. It's a gray matter. And the proponent, the majority of them said, maybe we ought to just cool our heels this 1 year and take a look at it and see what happens. Be a little cautious.
Are there further questions from members of the committee? Anyone? If not, then we'll close to committee discussion and or action on Senate Bill 251 as amended. Senator McIntyre.
I think from the testimony, it seems that the proposed improvement in 251 is considerably below the average of the last several years. That's my understanding from what I've read. It would still be an improvement over what we are presently doing. And I guess that from that, I think that we've been, that this possibly could be construed as showing due prudence and still recognizing the fact that we have a healthy system, that the employees need to expect that they will be having returns on their investment appropriate to what is available in the package. So therefore, I would move that we do pass on Senate Bill 251.
We have a motion, McIntyre. Second, Valesky. Do pass on Senate Bill 251. The clerk will call the roll. Oh, is there discussion of the motion? I'm getting ahead of myself here. Senator Dietrich.
I would be remiss if I didn't have a comment or two in Retirement Law Committee. So I appreciate the bill being brought forth. I think it's obviously was a decision that was very difficult for the board. I respect the process that they go through and the information they had and the time that they spent on this issue, especially in a situation where there is money in the bank and yet you realize future income may be a little short and you have to try to balance being responsible to both the employees as well as the system itself. I think they probably took the right action. I think that at this point we should probably hold and see what the future year brings, and next year hopefully we'll be able to improve the package. I know last year in the House there was a lot of concern from the members of continually improving that package significantly, yet the market doing this up one day, down the other, and there was a lot of concerns amongst members of the legislature that understood the program that we might put the program in jeopardy. And I think if we pass this bill today, we risk that happening. And I don't think that should probably be what we should be doing. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I would substitute motion, defer to the 41st day.
Substitute motion, Dietrich, seconded McCracken. I get those two mixed up over there. They're, to defer to the 41st day. The clerk will call the roll.
Senators McCracken?
Aye.
McIntyre?
No.
Valesky?
No.
Dietrich?
Aye.
Albers?
Aye.
3 yeas, 2 nays.
All right, then. Senate Bill 251 will go to the 41st day. Do we have further business in the committee? Moved Valesky, seconded Dietrich to adjourn. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned.